my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 224 of my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast, and this week's show is, I apologize in advance, it's a solo act. The week got away from me, and there was so much going on at Strideversary on Saturday night, and I'll talk about that, and that's going to be the crux of the conversation, or at least what I talk about this week, and kind of explain some things, but it's not completely just listening to me yammer away. I do have a soundbite, a clip, if you will, with the Honky Tonk Man, who is the latest announcement for the WWE Hall of Fame. He will be going in along with D-Generation X as part of the class of 2019. The Honky Tonk Man and I, Honky Tonk Man is the very first professional wrestler I ever met in person. It was in 1997, and he was coming into town. He was kind of a goodwill ambassador of sorts for the WWE, and he had come into St. Louis ahead of the In Your House Bad Blood pay-per-view, which of course we all know is the very first Hell in a Cell between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Honky came into town. I was working behind the scenes at a TV station in St. Louis, and the reporter who was going to cover the Honky Tonk Man coming in to kind of make this announcement about Bad Blood knew that I was a huge wrestling fan, and she invited me to go along. And so I got to sit down and talk to him and actually do an arm wrestling match with him. And he was arm wrestling people for a ticket to Bad Blood. So you got a comp ticket if you could beat the Honky Tonk Man. And of course, he was putting everybody over, and those comp tickets were being given away. I had tickets as well, so I was able to give my ticket to someone else. But I really enjoyed that experience. And then I met him again in 2012. Chad and I were at WrestleMania. Oh gosh, whichever WrestleMania that was, I can't keep track of the numbers anymore, but it was the one in Miami. We went to a WrestleCon event, and Honky Tonk Man was part of that. So we got to meet him and take pictures. And those WrestleCon events are pretty quick. It's kind of like going through the cattle line, just go through, smile, take a picture, maybe say a quick anecdote, and then you move on to the next superstar or legend. So two opportunities to have met him. He was coming into Effingham, Illinois, back in March 2016, and he was, that's about 2 hours from where I live. And so I reached out to him through the hosting company that was bringing him into town. He was doing a one-man show, and they got a hold of him for me, and he actually called me. I was on spring break at Disney World, and my phone rang, and I didn't know who it was. I didn't answer it right away because my son was in Orlando for band for the Disney parade, and the parade was literally getting ready to march through, so I didn't answer my phone. Noticed I had a voicemail. I listened to it, and it was the Honky Tonk Man, and so I called him back. Ended up doing the interview on the beach the next day. So the audio is not the greatest, but I do want to just play a little bit of that interview that I did do with him, because it's still relevant today, and he kind of talks about the time when he was the Intercontinental Champion and how he and Randy Savage were kind of those B shows, but really, you know, it was Hogan and Andre and Honky Tonk Man, Macho Man Randy Savage that were tearing things up. And I think Honky Tonk Man may be, this is, you know, obviously my 1-2-3 cents, if you will, my opinion, one of the most underrated superstars still to this day. I think a lot of people dismiss him or whatever, but he was a great heat-seeking missile, if you will, back in the day. And I loved him when I was a kid, you know, a teenager watching, and when he was holding the Intercontinental Championship all the way, you know, to this day. And I know he has said some things and done some interviews and whatnot where he's comes off maybe as a little bit bitter, but I enjoy him. I'm glad that he is finally getting his due and being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think it's long overdue, and I look forward to hearing what he has to say that night before WrestleMania. So I'm going to play that soundbite with him, and then on the other side, I'll be back to talk more about Strideversary, Stride Pro Wrestling's 3-year anniversary show.
Obviously, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant were the big draw back in that time period when you were the Intercontinental Champion. But obviously, you and Randy Savage were tearing things up around the country as well. And I would imagine that, you know, you guys were main eventing some of those other house shows as you guys split off and were doing different things. Was there any pressure being the Intercontinental Champion? And how did you maintain that longevity as Intercontinental Champion for 14 months, wasn't it?
15. I'll take that extra month. Thank you. But the pressure was to perform at that high level and continue to do it, because we, at that point in time, none of us had guaranteed contracts, and so we were paid on a nightly performance basis of gate receipts, and obviously if you're not selling tickets, then your check's not very good, and then you lose that top spot. So Randy and I both worked extremely hard. As you said, we were on the show. If Hogan was in Los Angeles, we were in New York. If Hogan was in New York, we might be in Miami. And and you got to remember, there were three wrestling towns running each night, 300 days a year back then.
Or wow. Four.
The only time we were off was New Year's Day, and actually, I don't even think we were off New Year's Day. We had 2 days off. We wrestled Christmas night, and we always wrestled on Thanksgiving night. So just a few days off were scattered here and there, but there were towns running even when you're off. But to get back to the point of the pressure was, you worked your whole, you get into this business, like I said earlier, to succeed at this high level and be this, and of course make money, obviously. I mean, I got into the business to make money also.
Sure.
And so when you get to that point where you have that opportunity, you don't want that train ride to ever end. So we pushed as hard as we could. I did everything I could to promote and get out and get my name out there and promote the towns so that the ticket sales would be there. And this character, like you said, that I had turned into a bad guy, that they wanted it to be a good guy, but I had developed it to be a bad guy. And I knew I could make it work, and it did work. And the reason my longevity, the 15 months, it was quite simple, Kevin. I was selling tickets, and that was the bottom line, and that motivates the promoter, who was Vince McMahon.
All right, so if you guys want to go back and listen to more of that interview with the Honky Tonk Man, it is episode 70. It was March 2016. You can go back in the Jittery Monkey archives at jitterymonkey.com and listen to that. And also, while you're there, check out the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, Chad Smart has Positive Cynicism. Greg Mahochko, who founded the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, has Nerds United, as well as the Five Heart Podcast. And the three of us are getting together for the first time ever, because I don't know that Chad and Greg have ever met in person. So we are all getting together for Cape Comic-Con in April. And we're going to have a table set up. We'll have some Jittery Monkey merchandise. We'll have some My 1-2-3 Cents merchandise. Some giveaways, some things for sale. It's going to be a fun weekend for sure. There's going to be all kinds of great things going on. So if you live anywhere near Cape Girardeau, Missouri, head on down. It's admission into Cape Con itself is very affordable for families, for individuals. They also have Cape Championship Wrestling going on that Saturday night. So it's going to be a big weekend for nerds, if you will. So be sure to come and check us out at Cape Comic Con. We'll have more details, and we'll be doing some live podcast recordings and whatnot. So we look forward to everybody coming in to town and stopping by the Jittery Monkey table and saying hello to us. Chad, by the way, is going to be soon unveiling a new mascot for the Positive Cynicism podcast. So all the monkeys will be getting together in Cape Girardeau, and I'm really excited about what that's going to all be about. I'm also really excited about Strideversary, Stride Pro Wrestling. Of course, I mentioned the three-year anniversary show, and, you know, I am not overstating it when I say this was the most action-packed night Stride Pro Wrestling has ever put on. And last week's guest, if you listened, was Tyler Hatton, Heath Hatton. And, you know, not only, he is the owner, the founder of Stride Pro Wrestling. He is the architect, if you will, of the company. He puts things together. He wrestles. He does it all. And, you know, I know when we talked about some of the criticism that he maybe faces in that role of being not only the owner, but also wrestling and performing, but he really does have a mind for this business. And I appreciate and can't thank him enough for being a part of this company. And after the show Saturday night, I can't reiterate that enough. It was a long day. We met, and I know it was a longer day for him and Red Daniels and some of the other guys who started getting stuff and getting things ready in the days leading up to Strideversary. And, you know, I did very minor few things, but there's a lot that goes into putting a show together, especially when we're not at our home base in Carterville, and there's a setup involved. Jerry Travelstead brought his ring down from Pinckneyville, and we set up. It was just a, you know, we wanted it to be a big event, a big show, our WrestleMania of sorts, if you will. Last year's anniversary show, you know, admittedly, and I think Tyler would admit this too, we didn't do a whole lot to promote it, and this was at a time where we were losing our spot at the mall because they were going through bankruptcy and construction issues, and it was just not a good situation. So we were kicked out of our home base just literally weeks before the two-year anniversary show was to happen, and so we ended up in a little old school. And when I say old school, I literally mean a former school. We were in their gymnasium. The attendance was not great. Maybe 70 people, maybe 75. Not a whole lot of people there. And it just, to me, didn't feel like our typical crowd. This past weekend, though, for the three-year anniversary show, I don't have a number. And I know that some guys from the locker room are probably listening to this. I'm going to guess at between 2 and 250 people were there. I may be lowballing that, but the place was packed. It was standing room only. We borrowed chairs because the venue that we were in did not have chairs. So we were able to get some chairs. Raven Tire and Marion loaned us chairs. So we had the Raven Tire Rumble. Also, Irons in the Fire / Live Simple Shop in Carterville. They donated or loaned us about 24 chairs. So we were able to you know, put something together, and the crowd loved it, and I loved it too. You know, I sat ringside all night as the ring announcer and watched the action, and just kind of getting. There were times that I got caught up in the moments too of the show, and knowing some of the things, because I don't know everything that's going to happen, but knowing some of the things even in advance still caused those goosebump moments and those you know. I know people don't like mark out moments, but it really was. I'm not overhyping it, I don't think at all, when I say this was the best Stride show to date. And, you know, I'm so proud to have been a part of it. And, you know, before the show even started, we honored Heath, Tyler for his work. Jerry Travelstead came into the ring and presented him with a plaque for 3 years of service, because I think a lot of people not only don't think about the fact that we're doing these monthly shows, but a lot of these shows, most of these shows, are fundraiser shows. We've raised tens of thousands of dollars to date for various organizations, whether it's storm victims, whether it is cancer patients, whether it is schools, or youth sporting teams. You know, Stride Pro Wrestling is there to help and raise money and make a difference. So without any further ado, I'm going to do a quick recap of Strideversary. You know, check out these individual wrestlers on social media, whether it's Cash Borden or Jay Spade or Heath Hatton. especially on Instagram, I noticed over the weekend lots of videos were popping up. I try to get as much to the Stride Pro Wrestling page as well on Facebook and Instagram. It is stridepro-wrestling.com. We'll take you right to the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. But such amazing content, so much going on out there. The show opened with a tag team title match. The champions, Mr. Anthony and Dexter Roswell, defending against former Billy Hills and Scott Phoenix, who were the former tag team champions. Now, at the previous show, when Dexter and Mr. Anthony won, they handcuffed former Billy Hills. They assaulted Scott Phoenix with the championship belts, and that's how they got the victory. However, revenge was in the cards as Farmer and Scott Phoenix regained the tag team titles. Jerry Travelstead, by the way, the special guest referee for that matchup. And yeah, the handcuffs came into play once again, but this time it was Dexter Roswell on the receiving end. And a shout out to Scott Phoenix, who becomes the very first four-time Stride Pro Wrestling tag team champion here in the company. He is I'm not going to say a rookie, he is one of the first graduates of the Stride Pro Wrestling school. He and Axe Allwirt as Maximum Overdrive won the tag team titles. That was his first run. Then he and Dexter Roswell were the tag team champions. And then finally he teamed up with former Billy Hills, and now two times they have been the tag team champions, making him a four-time tag team champion here within Stride Pro Wrestling. So congratulations to Scott Phoenix. I know he puts in a lot of hard work, and that does not go unnoticed. So congrats on that. Congrats also to Joey O'Reilly. He beat Jason Tiller to become the number one contender to the Legacy title. Jason Tiller, a big 300-plus pounder, taking on O'Reilly, who weighs in at about 175 pounds, but really a gifted athlete, has a lot of aerial moves and assaults, was actually on 205 Live just last year. So Joey O'Reilly, a very bright star on the indie scene. I know he does a lot with IWAU out of Southern Illinois as well. So he is on the road a lot with wrestling, and is going to be making a name for himself, I think, on a national scene before you know it as well. A super grudge match between Jay Wellington Beauregard, the manager, the former manager of Axe Allwirt, the current manager of the King, Chris Hargis. Jay Wells battled Axe Allwirt. This all is a culmination from actually back when Scott Phoenix won the tag team titles with Dexter Roswell, the very first time. He and Axe were, of course, the champions. Scott Phoenix turning on Axe at that time, and Jay Wells as well. And, you know, that feud has been simmering since, I believe it was October of 2017. So Axe finally getting his hands on Jay Wells in a singles match. Unfortunately, though, Axe was assaulted before the match by Chris Hargis, and then throughout, he ended up chasing Chris Hargis away and ended up getting counted out. And in Jay Wells' mind, he is now 4-0 against Axe. However, his history needs a little revising. He challenged Axe to a match last month, and Axe, knowing wasn't there, demanded that Axe be counted out of that contest as well. But Jay Wells nonetheless gets the W in this latest matchup. And I wouldn't say that Axe is done quite yet with Mr. Beauregard, so he needs to watch his back. Another grudge match, and this one a first blood match, the very first blood match between Riser and Wraith. Wraith, of course, coming to Stride Pro Wrestling in January of 2018 and recruiting Riser shortly thereafter. They became a unit a year ago this week, and unfortunately, they split up, and Riser, a young, gifted star on the Stride roster, he's going places. And this victory over Wraith in the first blood match, just another feather in his cap, which I think will mount to many, many more big, important victories in the Stride Pro Wrestling roster, as well as beyond. I know that he has done shows in other companies as well, and I look forward to seeing what he has to offer. We had the Battle Royal. It was the Raven Tire Rumble. Lots of guys coming out and competing. And I say guys, there were also Stella Swalls, who was the partner of Will Power, who is our fitness guru. Unfortunately, though, Stella turned on Will Power and helped to eliminate him from the Battle Royal. She herself ended up getting eliminated, and the eventual winner of that, Jose Magnifico, a fan favorite for sure, and there was a lot of celebration going on. Members of the RWO, Xavion Ayers, and Jerry Travelstead also a part of that, as well as B-Rad. So congratulations to everyone who got into the Raven Tire Rumble. This next match was off the chain, and yes, pun intended. It was Cash Borden defending the Legacy title against Jay Spade in a dog collar match. And these two were collared together. This was the very first dog collar match I'd ever witnessed in person. I went back and watched the Rowdy Roddy Piper, Greg the Hammer Valentine dog collar match from Starrcade 1983. Of course, that match was brutal and bloody and violent. This match lived up to the expectations as well. They, by they I mean Cash and Jay, beat the hell out of each other and threw each other around, not just the ring, but they took it out and were all over the arena as well. Jay Spade was yanked off the top rope through a couple of chairs, and that's eventually how Cash ended up getting the victory. This match, to me, could have been match of the night. I think it may, I never like to pick favorites, but man, the intensity and just what these two did, the story that they told, it was just a really intense and great match. My hat's off to everybody in the Stride locker room, but these guys put on a great match and have told a great story since day one, since this feud began and where it led to. And I'm going to get to where Jay Spade ends up in our main event in just a couple of seconds here. But also want to talk about Cash Borden. I'm sorry, Cash Borden was in the last match. The King, Chris Hargis, set to take on Bo Sawyer in the Stride Cup Finals. In the Stride Cup Finals, not only does the winner get the Stride Cup, they also get a contract to take on the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion at any time. It's our version of Money in the Bank, if you will. And before the match even started, before Bo could even get to the ring, he was attacked by his former tag team partner, Jason Tiller. They were the former tag team champions, two-time tag team champions, the Midwest Monster Hunters. Well, that duo appears to be no more, as Bo was carted away back to the locker room, and very presumptuously, Jay Wellington Beauregard and King Chris Hargis assumed that they were walking out with the Stride Cup. However, General Manager Sam Hunter said, nope, brought a shovel to the ring, reminding us all of that Buried Alive match from December 2017, where Chris Hargis had buried Red Daniels. Well, Sam Hunter dug up Red from the grave, and it was Red Daniels versus Chris Hargis. Daniels picks up the victory, and I'm going to tell you, there have been pops, and there have been pops, and I will tell you, this pop for Red Daniels when he came out was deafening, and I got goosebumps. I've got goosebumps just talking about it right now. A great moment in the Stride Pro Wrestling locker room. You know, a lot of fans talked about that Buried Alive match being a great memory and a great moment when Red Daniels was buried alive. His return was just as big as his demise, I think, and the fans ate it up, and it was an amazing moment, to say the very least. That takes us to our main event, where it was Tony Flood and Heath Hatton competing for the vacated Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. This was a this was a 60-minute Ironman match, so whoever scored the most falls would end up as the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Now, throughout the course of this, that mysterious masked man appeared once again, and he brought that lead pipe with him, and he's got an axe to grind with Heath Hatton for whatever reason, and he made it known. That pipe came into play, and Flood ended up with an early advantage throughout the matchup, And we saw a couple of countouts, double countouts, when Flood and Hatton both went through a table. Hatton speared Flood off of the ring apron through a table. That ended up in a double countout, so each man got a fall for that. Ended up, long story short, the finals, within the last 10 seconds, Hatton scored that final pinfall and won 5-4. And to celebrate after wrestling for 60 minutes, my hat's off to Tony Flood and to Heath Hatton. 60 minutes. You know, it's hard to do anything consistently for 60 minutes. And these two proved that, why they're two of the best in the Stride locker room. And I say that wholeheartedly. They went in there and they put on a great matchup. They told a wonderful, compelling story. They've had issues in the past throughout when Tony was the legacy champion and Hatton competed for that. And now this championship feud that they've had, they really told a wonderful story. And again, I'm proud of what both of them did. And the fact that they went 60 minutes. And, you know, I worried, I'll be honest, I worried, could they keep the fans interested for 60 minutes? 60 minutes is a long time in this day and age with the technology that everybody has. Our attention spans are so short. But the crowd seemed captivated and hung on to that match. And afterward, when Hatton brought in that masked man and unmasked him to shock everyone, to reveal that it was, in fact, Jay Spade behind the mask, who was a rival of Tony Flood's, but now seemingly helping Flood, and they both double super kicked Hatton, which led to the opportunity of a lifetime. Yeah, I mentioned Red Daniels winning that briefcase with the contract. He came out and immediately cashed in, and who could blame him? He ends up pinning. Heath Hatton is now the very first time he has won the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. So congratulations to Heath Hatton for a moment for winning back the Stride Pro Wrestling title and becoming, I'm trying to keep track, I believe this is now his third run as the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. I guess maybe technically fourth. I'll have to go back and double check the record books, but Red Daniels is the story here where he is now the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, taking full advantage. I love where this company is headed. I love the fact that so many people came out and supported. Be sure on March 23rd, we're headed out to Norris City Schools. So come out to Norris City, support Stride Pro Wrestling April 6th, the week after that. It's WrestleMania weekend. We are in Johnston City doing another fundraiser out there for that school. So it's going to be another great spring full of wrestling action. By the way, IWA Productions out of Southern Illinois as well. They're going to be doing a big fundraiser event as well. This one is going to feature Buff Bagwell. I have all the details over on My123Cents. You can check that out on the My123Cents Facebook page. So lots of great wrestling action here in Southern Illinois happening over the course of the next several weeks. So be sure to come out, continue to support indie wrestling, support the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and I thank you for supporting My123Cents as well. Of course, there's the Pro Wrestling Tee Shop that you can check out. Still working on that design. I've run into some complications. I'll explain all that at another time. But friends, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show and supporting My123Cents. Have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.